This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the 36th ever Iced Coffee Hour, where the channel has already made $34,714. I'm Grant Navarre, and I am very happy to be here.
That perfect was high energy. Intro.
That was perfect. Amazing. That's got to go into highlights. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on the channel. So you've come quite a ways, all the way to Las Vegas. And for those that don't know you, you've been on the Graham Stephan Show before. I interviewed you because you reached an $11 million real estate portfolio with 31 rental properties, bringing in $50,000 a month. You build them, you sell them, and now you're selling them. And you have quite an interesting story of running a car dealership, smoothie place, yeah. Too. You make smoothies. We have smoothie madness to talk about here. Mm-hmm. Really interesting. And you also brought some Team Rocket Pokemon cards to unopen.
He's
here.
He's brought six packs for us to each open up two packs of Pokemon cards.
And to keep you guys watching, I'm also going to unpack. Is it, what do we call? Unpack?
Unpack.
It's open not in a box. We're going to be opening up this base pack that I bought a few months ago. This was $1,000 for this little thing right here.
That's crazy.
Who knows what's inside of it? But guys, all you got to do is smash the like button for the YouTube algorithm, and we could pull a Charizard. We could pull a Charizard here and a Dark Charizard over there, Hollow.
So if you pull it, just in case, do you know the value of that Charizard if you get a PSA 10?
Well, it's not shadowless, so right. It's going to have a shadow. I'm going to guess a PSA 10 shadow, maybe $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But when I pulled some on the Stevie Aoki pack pulls.
Right.
And when you pull them up on last sold, $20,000. PSA 10.
$20,000?
And that's a base set. That's base set.
Yeah. Jeez.
PSA 10. Now, if you get a 9, it's like $1,900.
Wow. But so still. Really quick, tell me, how many packs have you purchased from Steve Aoki, and how much are those?
So a good friend of mine runs his stuff, and he's been messaging me for them. I've probably purchased 10.
10?
10 yeah, packs from Steve.
And you get the very beginning was one and one. Like, you'd purchase one, you'd get another pack. Then he started doing, like, you would get... So that 10 includes... He started doing like a base set with a rocket and a base set with with
how
a fossil.
Much was that?
He made the pricing the year $2,021 is what he did. So it was $4,000. But I pulled two Charizards and
so you got your money back.
Plus,
did you?
Yeah,
you did.
So if the first one's a 9 and the second one's a 10, then that's still $20,000+.
Did you send them in to get graded then?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Yeah.
They're so backed up. I thought about grading some cards too, but they're so backed up. You could expedite them, but they're like $500 a card. Like, you really got to make it worth it. So I'm going to wait for them to open up and then walk them in. And that, I think, is generally the smartest thing to do is you got to go with them in person, give it to them, pay a premium, get it back the same day.
Guys, we should note, this is the first podcast episode we are filming in Vegas.
Yes. There we go.
That's huge.
This is. Well, you're the first one to film a podcast here.
Yeah.
This is where it's going to be, really, unless we have a guest in LA. But for the most part, they're going to be here now.
You know, you're actually going to see the setting before Graham's main channel sees it.
Wow.
Because
that's
he's releasing a video soon that shows all the interior and everything after it's been done.
Yeah.
But that's coming later.
Yep.
So guys, just to give a little bit of a background, who Grant is and how we met, he was actually a part of the mentorship group. Link down below.
You're getting better at the plugs. Link
down below
in the description.
Weeble down below. Get your 4 free stocks. But yeah, he was a part of the mentorship group. And I just remember, like, when we would meet in the Zoom calls, him and I ended up talking a lot. And we got to know each other. I took down his phone number, and we started talking a lot, and you started befriending Graham and stuff. And then we planned to do a video like this, a big old Pokemon card unboxing.
Yeah. What I found was amazing that we did a phone call on the Graham Stephan Show about, what, 5-6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I hit 2 million subscribers, you sent me this Rolex, which was insane. Got this box in the mail. It's like, what is this? Opened it up, and it's engraved 2 million subscribers on the back.
Yeah. That's incredible. Pretty incredible.
And I wear this
he
all the time.
He sent him a Rolex. Yeah. Graham loves that watch.
Yeah. You see me wearing this, and I'd say a third of my videos I'm wearing it. And everyone's like, Graham, you're wearing a Rolex. It's so exciting. I'm like, no, 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 it's a gift. Grant got me the watch. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay, guys. But yeah, I love it.
If y'all don't mind, stay tuned for this whole video, because if you like the Rolex that I got, Graham, it might not be as crazy as a Rolex, but it still might be your first. I don't know. So it's another cool
thing. I'm so curious to see what this might be.
Wait, so you have a surprise for Graham? Jeez.
Yeah. And I have a surprise for you too, but I'll tell you that when we do the pack.
You got a surprise too. Wow.
No, look at this.
And look, I do this just because I appreciate them too, right? We've, like they said, we're friends. So this is fun.
You'll get my real reaction. I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea what that is. Yeah.
There have been a lot of events in this relationship developing, and it's been a fun time. It's been a long time. And this is actually our first day meeting Grant.
Yeah.
It's also really exciting.
Don't feel like it though.
Yeah. No, it's weird because we've talked online for like a year. Mm-hmm. Before meeting, but it's one of those things that when you've been talking so much or just doing like Zoom calls back and forth on the mentorship group down below in the description, like when we met, it was like just we're friends. Like we already know each other.
Normal.
There's no like awkwardness of like, hey, I'm Graham, I'm Grant. It's nothing like that. It's just fun.
And after this, we're also going to go gambling a little bit.
Oh, Jack has really wanted to do this.
What are you putting me down for? No.
It's your idea.
Graham really wants to gamble. So I said, fine, Graham, if you really get on your knees and beg, we'll go and gamble. So we're going to go gambling and we'll show you guys the results at the end of the podcast episode. There will be a little segment of us talking about our experience gambling. So stay tuned for that.
And this, I would like to say this house is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
You did a great
job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Including Jack's.
Well, I'm sure it's nowhere near. So you're building some real estate, but let's go back a minute. How did you get started in real estate?
So when I was 18 years old, started selling cars.
Yep.
And what ended up happening is I did really well, right? So my average for all those years were about $75,000 a year. And how I got started, and I said this, I don't know if it would make it to the Graham Stephan show, but my mother told me that I couldn't have girls in my room, and I decided that I had to have a place of my own. And so that's how it started. 18 years old, I got a loan and, you know, bought an apartment that was half of a duplex for $96,000.
Now, I know Graham advocates for living with the family, but in a situation like this, Graham, what would you say to the mother or to Grant?
You gotta look at the financial value of being able to have a girl over at the house. Is that really worth $2,000 a month? I would advocate probably not. Unless
maybe
it's
not
cheaper
to you, Graham, but to someone like Grant.
How
Grant
much would you
I?
Pay to have girls over at the house, Jack?
Well, considering I don't
Jack's
have
like
any
money,
as
money
it
is no object.
Right?
Like, money well, is no object.
No, that's not true. Let's cut that part out.
We're not going to cut that out. I look at the financial value of that. I'm like, okay, I could save, let's say, how much were you saving living at home?
So my mortgage is only $555.
Yeah, you're okay, from so a different place, though. You're not from California.
Yeah, $96,000 is what it cost me.
Okay.
And it was an apartment. It was half of a duplex. Okay. It wasn't like
all right, so that's not costing you. So the opportunity cost of putting your money in there versus living at home is really not that big. Because you could have instead bought a rental property, rented it out.
I did that the next year.
You did that the next year.
But it also cost to get that hot tub I had to put in the backyard. That was fun.
You got a hot tub?
I did.
So you really wanted girls over. That was
the reason why you moved out.
This is turning into a girl topic. I love my beautiful fiance, Kayla Vizina. So yes.
Of course.
So yes. Thankfully, my mom would let her be in the room. So at 31,
Is this what started you off in investing? Is like, I want to have girls over. So like, I got to get my own place.
That's an origin story.
It is. So, but that is the main, like I'm very honest. And that is the very reason why I did it. And then at 19, I realized that I could build a whole duplex for not double the price that I paid for that one. So I built my first duplex for right around $140,000. And then I lived in one side, rented the other side, and I stayed there for a very long time.
And how do you just like build a duplex coming from no background in real estate? Or did you have a background?
So I was very fortunate. I do come from a very good family. My brother, Barrett, who is part of my core principles, I've watched others and I've watched their successful failures. I'm very fortunate to have those people around me. But what happened was he built them. I actually bought the apartment from him is where I got the very good deal. Then he sold the next one for 80, so I didn't get the best deal.
Oh my God. Family. He sold it to you at a premium.
Yeah. You know,
Barrett,
that's family.
What are you doing?
It's family. You got to charge a little bit more for family.
It's a little brother price. So, he built it. So I kind of watched it. I like to watch and absorb and then do. So I just trial and error after that. I mean, he didn't give me any pointers, didn't tell me anything. I just went out and built a duplex. And I made mistakes, but all in all, it worked out great.
So you were selling cars. What made you sell cars? Why cars?
So it's just my family. So they've always been in the car business, and that's what I did as well. So
yeah,
that seems pretty impressive that you built a duplex at 19, though, because I'm 22 and I can't even like fathom.
You can't even put up a hang a picture.
No, I build can't. A duplex. No,
yeah. I can't even hang TVs. So you know that's wow. that's my impressive able to fix things thing.
That's right impressive. That's
it is. Yeah.
But first, a word from our sponsor, Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creatives where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey. For example, a Skillshare class I'm looking to take is Ali Abdaal's video editing with Final Cut Pro 10, from beginner to YouTuber. I love Ali's video editing skills, and I just love his style, and I know for a fact if I take that class, I'm gonna get some great insight on how I can up my editing game. Now, I know video editing may just be for me. If you guys aren't interested in that, don't worry. Skillshare offers thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration design, photography, video, freelancing, and more. And even if you don't have anything specific in mind that you'd like to learn about, I strongly encourage you to check it out anyways, because maybe you'll go and you'll check their categories and stuff and you'll find something that that'll interest you. And I think it's important to continuously be learning new things and trying out new things. And there's definitely not a better place to do that than Skillshare. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/iced coffee, where our listeners can get a free trial of premium membership at Skillshare.com/iced coffee. Thank you for watching, and back to the podcast.
So you were doing pretty well then selling cars. Were you just a good salesman? Were you a good talker? What? How do you sell a car?
Well, I was also going to college, which I did not finish. I was a junior for a very long time. And what ended up happening is I just decided to focus more on that. But I sold cars for 4.5 years. I was always in the top, being a young person, going to school. I actually talked to a few people that do that now. Mm-hmm. And the car business is one of the absolute best businesses, aside from real estate, that both of us have found our footing in. So that's just, it built from there.
But what made you so good selling cars?
I've always been a people person. I'm you know, just from all three of us.
Your voice is amazing.
You have a great voice. You have a really, really good voice.
It booms.
Yeah.
It fills the room. This room is massive, and you know what it is? It fills the room.
It's friendly. It's a friendly, welcoming voice.
You say y'all, you say sir.
Sir, I listen, you kept calling me sir. I'm like, I'm not a sir. Like, this is too polite. Like, this is too polite. Yeah. Like, this is too good.
Yeah.
But, and I very much, thank y'all.
It's too respectful. Yeah. Too respectful.
You know.
Call me dude. Yeah. What's up, man? Bruh.
We're getting towards bro. Like, yeah, hey, bro. Okay, you know, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be one thing. And then plus, I work like no other. You know, you talk about your work ethic, and I see it in all the videos and all the channels. And then, dude, you coming in. See, I did it. Dude, right there. I did it. We're getting comfortable.
Nice.
And so anyway, that happened, and I watch you do all the things you do. So just long story short, I would make sure that I did what most don't, follow up, keep going. And you put enough effort, time, and you know, consistency in anything, you're going to get results. You just got to make sure you do them long enough.
Where do you get the work ethic from?
So that just my family, watching my father, watching my brothers, just my own personality as well. You know, I know you're not born with these kinds of things, but I've always been very, very competitive. So
You got to have a pretty big work ethic to do what you do, because you have all of your investments spread around. Like you're actively investing in like the smoothie place. You've got your car dealership you got to run. You've got all these apartment complexes that you're building up. Like all that has to take a lot of time.
And I don't have a property manager. Yeah. I do run them all myself.
We need some clickbait for the title. Do you know like a gross number here of like how much this all brings every month between like the car business, between smoothies, between real estate, between investments, to you?
Wait, so do you pre-tax. Want like gross? So with everything fully rented, we'll just go that number, but with everything fully rented, $600,000 from the rentals. My smoothie business last year, even with everything that has happened, brought in right at 100, actually a little bit more, but let's just use 100. And then I make 300 at the store, as far as, you know, being the director of the 11 stores. And so, you know, that's pretty close to a million.
How on earth do you manage all of that? How do you run a smoothie business?
So Main Squeeze is pretty cool. And so basically they make healthy easier. It's really cool. And it's a fun concept. Mm. So they started in Lake Charles, Louisiana. My cousin actually developed it. You know, hadn't seen him in forever. He comes and talks to me about it. I got excited about it. I've never just talked to somebody and did it, besides like something like this.
Sure.
You know? And anyway, he did it. I bought in, and I bought 8 locations. One's built, and the shopping center that I'm talking about is that we're doing next month, which is very exciting, is going to be where the second one is.
So you're buying a shopping center as well.
Mm-hmm.
for your smoothie
that is included
business.
in the 11 million. So that is show, that's why I said
the 11
rented.
Million as in your total portfolio
value.
Real estate portfolio.
And yeah. A lot of this, guys, we've already discussed on the second channel. We did a Pokemon card pack unboxing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go and check that out. Go because if you want to see the other 30 packs that we unpacked, we opened them up. Go and check that out. That's an intense video, Jack. You're putting a lot of time into editing video.
Yeah.
That's just like
five angles, guys.
We had five cameras. What we did is a Pokemon battle between both of us. You had a pack, I had a pack. We opened them up and we saw at the very end who has the most value from that. So for your real estate, now you have 31 different properties. How did you start scaling up after the duplex?
So very much like you, when you make a certain amount of income, sometimes that's blinding. You know, now you kept investing and me, there was a time period, where I didn't. So from 19 until I was 24, I didn't invest in real estate. I just had the duplex. I lived in one side. I did build a house. I was making $350,000 a year, which is great income. But what ended up happening is at 25, I built my first fiveplex. And after that, I realized I could do more and I knew I could do more and I could handle more. And that's when we started really getting into it. So, of course, the reason to get the capital, my job, building up that income, living very, very frugally, and just pushing it more and more every year to see what I could do.
So you think having a strong income is one of the best ways into getting into real estate?
Yes. So, of course, you want to make more income. You want to push yourself, get a side hustle, get a lawnmower. You know, you can do anything you put your mind to as long as you put that effort and time and commitment into it. Yeah.
How do you manage your time between everything? What takes up the most amount of time? I feel like probably the smoothie and the car business probably take up the bulk of your time. The real estate's more passive.
Car business, definitely. Real estate, you know, when I get off of work, I don't get off of work. And of course, I have my channel too, so that does take effort and time. As far as my day, just how to manage myself, Kayla, my fiance, is also my assistant and my real estate agent. So we're just, it's like one big hub of she'll tell me what I got to do. I go do it. And then like when I have a rental, I go post it on all the pages. I'll go do that. She helps tremendously and she'll fill the calls. So that I'll message them out. And if they directly message me, I'll answer them, but this is her number. And I collect all the rent. Like the answer is, I don't know. I just keep going. You know, I don't think about, I got a lot to do. I just do it.
And is this sustainable? How much free time do you have? Like what's your work like? Like on how many hours do you work every week?
If you asked me my hobby, as far as it's sustainable, it's work. I like it. I like to work. But as far as how many hours a week I work, there's 160 in the week. So, you know, 85 to, I don't know if 100's realistic, but it's a lot. Because even when you go and film until 2 a.m, that's still work.
Right.
In my opinion. Yeah. I mean, definitely.
It is.
Because you're killing
it. Yeah. It is. I feel the same way. For me, it's like people ask me, what do you do for fun? I'm like, I work. I have fun with that. And they look at me like they're crazy. Like, what? That's fun? And it is. It is. I have so much fun doing it. So that's my hobby. That's what I do for fun.
And if this is technically work, I'm also having a lot of fun
right
now.
See?
Grant, what would you tell a young, excited, maybe doesn't have a ton of money, a 22-year-old, random 22-year-old, no one specifically, but just a semi-handsome 22-year-old, how would they get into real estate? Like, what would you tell to them?
I would tell you to save everything, just kind of like how your attitude was earlier when I said about gambling and you're like, I'm going to put $5 on the table. I was like, what if you get a double down?
Grant wanted me to put in a lot of money. You too. I don't want to put in anything. I don't want to gamble.
But yeah, I would say save everything. Same mindset that you have. Elevate your income, you know, as you've been doing, you know, with helping Grant more and more. And like the iced coffee hour, I mean, you know, y'all are killing it with this and it's already 100,000 subscribers.
Almost. We're so close.
We're going to hit 100 in
a
week, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe in a week.
And that's and that's awesome. It's very awesome, especially for channels like mine.
Subscribe to Grant, guys. He's in the description.
Not when I was, you know, but thank you for the plug. You know, but anyway, so I would just say keep saving your money. Keep doing that. Keep going. You also have to start.
Yeah.
Biggest thing. If I would have never started, you would still be 31 years old. And so I will throw this thing back out there. Barrett, my brother who sold me the apartment for $96,000 and the next one for $80,000, not upset. But what ended up happening is at 23 years old, he got overwhelmed. He did it at 21, right? Uh-huh. He started selling cars. That's where and so at 21, he built them. At 23, he got overwhelmed and he sold them. And he has not gotten back into real estate until this year. And he's building a shopping center. Now he was a general manager, just like I am, making really good income and it makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, so always stay hungry, keep going and keep pushing.
So what did you want to be when you grew up? Did you have an idea? It was like, I want to be this. I want to run smoothie shops.
Definitely not smoothie shops. Yeah. That one came out of left field for me. I would say I've always wanted to be in sales. You know, you ever heard there, comment below, and I don't mean to be trying to take over the comment section, but comment below if you've ever been told you should be a salesperson. Like that's when I was a little kid and they would recruit me to go sell the raffle tickets. I would come back and just, and I'm not the best at numbers and things like that. I mean, I know my numbers, but it's just sometimes it's not the strong point. I would come and pull out like all the raffle money. I'm like, here you go. And they would be like, here's more tickets. And that they would sick them, boy. And that's what I would go do. I'd just like a good hunting dog. Mm. I would come back and that's just how I've always been. When I, so I'll throw this out there too. When I was 16 and 17 years old, I got recruited to do Advocare. It's a multi-level market company.
But really quick, we have a word from our sponsor, NordVPN. If you're looking to improve your cybersecurity, look no further because NordVPN is here. NordVPN provides a virtual private network service that basically will just increase your internet safety when you're browsing online. I've said it a million times before, and I'll say it again, you can never be too safe when you're browsing online. NordVPN understands that, and that's why they provide over 5,500 super fast servers in 60 countries. There's no data logging, they have 24/7 support, and you can also have up to 6 simultaneous connections per account. I just know for me that I like to take this safety precaution because I don't really know what's out there. And for me, it just makes sense to be more safe than less safe. So guys, if any of this interests you and you want safer internet browsing, be sure to check out nordvpn.com/ICH. You could also just use code ICH during checkout to get the 2-year plan plus one additional month with a huge discount. Be sure to get that huge discount and check out nordvpn.com/ICH, or just remember to use code ICH at checkout to get the discount. Thank you so much, NordVPN, for supporting this episode, and back to the podcast.
I was I should have brought it. I'll send you a photo if you want to use it, but I got a $3,000 check for being the top at 17, and it was a $3,000 check in 2008 for being the third highest salesperson in the whole company, and for the new people, so not the people making with the planes, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought that was cool, and so I was hooked.
So you've always just been good at sales, always good with people, just naturally grew up like that.
I tell you this, a lot of people think this is crazy. When I was doing Advocare, like let's say we all went to high school together. I know you're younger than me, right? We're close to the same age. I'm not like 40. I'm 31. Mm-hmm. But what would happen is let's say he went to a school and he went to a school. I would have a sales meeting and I didn't even know what they were. I would have a sales meeting like the Wolf of Wall Street, except without all the craziness. And I would like take cash and like, let's say you made $300 in commissions on those. I was like, Jack, got $300. And everybody's like, super hype because you're high school and you get $300. It's crazy. So
yeah.
I'm getting hyped about like, let's do a sales meeting. Let's do this.
So what were your biggest struggles, would you say?
Time, mental focus, you know, because regardless of if you're a salesperson or making, you know, an hourly wage, you have to keep that mental focus because if not, you'll destroy yourself. So that's always been the struggle. It's the struggle today, you know, like, let's go to Vegas. And when we go back, we're going straight to my smoothie shop in Houston, spending 2 days there. And then we're going back home to catch back up on everything we left off there. So
have you ever had any big financial losses? It seems like everything you've done so far has made money. What's the biggest financial loss?
So when I was 18 years old, we were on a family vacation. And like I said, I come from a family that's very competitive. And my brother, I walked downstairs. We had rented a house. And it was the last time our family ever stayed together. And my father died pretty recently, 2016. Mm. But yeah, so it just, you know, it was cool. And we're all there. And my brother's yelling at the TV. It's 2008, right? And the Great Recession was starting or getting ready to get bad. Mm. And so he's yelling at the TV, asking, what are you doing? He's 48 and I'm 31, so 17-year-old gap. And he said, I'm trading stocks. At least I heard. At least he told me something. So I went away about my business. Then we went to the pool and my other brother was yelling at his phone. I was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, and he told me a little bit more. And he told me, I'm trading Bank of America. When the market goes down, I'll buy it. And then when the market goes up, I sell it. And then I'm also buying SPXU. Now that is not a stock tip, because let me explain this story. I knew two stocks. So from 18 years old, he tells me this. I'm like, okay. He's like, I made $600 today. I get super pumped. And remember, I was making good income, making $75,000. So I said, I had $10,000 saved at this time because I hadn't fully made $75,000 yet. And I literally run to my room and I go invest $3,000 in E-Trade. And I'm a creature of habit. I still have an E-Trade account. And I did that from this day. And I went and invested a total of $7,000, because when you invest three, you have to wait till the money actually clears. So I'm super excited like ready to trade and do something. And then I had to wait like 3 days for it to work. So I learned as much as I could in 3 days, and I traded 2 stocks, put $7,000 in, and I rose that money to 45 grand by the time I was 19.
Wow.
Now, the story is great right there, but it gets way worse. And now the guy, what was his name? I'm so sorry. I watched the entire podcast, but the guy,
Jeremy?
That, no.
Tim Chandler?
Tim Sykes.
Tim Sykes. Okay. So I don't follow him, but I enjoyed his podcast. Yep. And he made like millions of dollars. So it's nothing like that. But I rose that money to 45 grand and I only bought 2 stocks. Like I said, a 50% chance of this really working out. The lowest I ever bought Bank of America for was $4.20 back in 2008. So I bought SPXU, which is not a stock tip, mm-hmm. and I lost everything. I didn't know what I was doing. So I froze whenever the market corrected and started going back up. But I'll tell you this, I've done the equation a million times and it's a learning experience. Anytime I ever make a mistake, I try to learn from it. If I would have bought Bank of America instead of SPXU at 18 years old, I put $7,000 in, it would have turned out to be about $360,000. If you take Bank of America, 45,000 have been 10,700 shares, multiply that by the
total. You never know though.
100% agree.
Yeah.
So that's why this stock time has been my Super Bowl. So I'm going to make up my losses, and I still bought SPXU and lost $100,000 this time too. So.
Any loss like that, just consider that like a college education, not to do that again.
Expensive.
Every loss that I've taken like that, I don't think I've taken a loss that, I think the biggest loss I've ever taken, I think was I did lose 10 grand in, what was it? Dave and Buster's stock.
The crypto experience was not a pleasant one for you either.
Oh gosh. So I put, I bought a Bitcoin back in 2017. I think I bought it at like 17 something, sold it at 17.5. So I was a Warren Buffett. I thought like I knew the market. I beat Bitcoin. And then I put some money in, it was Ryblocks back in the day at like, I forget, it's been like almost 4 years now. I think I bought it like $1.30 or something like this, or like $1, $2. And, I put, I don't know how many grand, it's been a while, like 5-6 grand back then. And Ryblocks went from like $1.37 all the way up to like $38.
Oh, wow.
And I was sitting on like a hefty chunk of cash. And I just thought, I'm an idiot. It was at 38. And I'm like, it's going to be traded very soon on Binance. And every single coin that goes on Binance goes up like, you know, even more. So my plan was that like people were saying it's probably worth about 50 once it gets traded on Binance. So I thought I was so smart. I'm like, I'm going to sell it at 44. So it was at 38. And I'm like, 44 is like my magic number. And I'm going to sell before everyone else. And within days later, the whole crypto market just comes crashing down, and I'm thinking, no, it's gonna come back. And as it started dropping, then it was like, well, I may as well just ride it out. I wrote out the whole thing. At the bottom, it was worth like under $1, and now it's worth about $3.50, $4. So like, I'm still holding it. I haven't done a single thing, but I could have made so much money in a span of like a week and a half. And I just got, that was just greed. That was like, I was like guaranteed all this money had I just sold, but I just wanted a little bit more. But it was stupid. It was just stupid. But that was play money. I basically thought that like, hey, instead of putting it on the tables, I'm just going to put it in this. So be it. But that was probably my biggest loss. Dave and Buster's was another one. Bought in. And immediately as soon as I bought it, it goes down to like $11. I bought it, I think, at like 17, went down to 11, stayed there for the longest time. And then at the end of the year, I was doing tax loss harvesting. I'm like, okay, let me cut my losses on this. As soon as I sold, it started going up, and now it's at like 36. So I would have doubled my money, but I sold at the low point of the day.
That's
so as soon as I sold,
you just can't trade that stock anymore, man.
No, This the lesson here is honestly, I just for stocks, just hold, don't sell, never sell a stock.
If you ever want to short the market, tell me first.
Oh yeah,
I buy it, the stock will drop at least for a week.
Oh jeez,
it's the way it goes.
Everything I bought lately has been going up. It worries me. I think how much the market's been going up lately, because it's like I realize there's no way that everything you buy, it's just up like 4% the next day. That's not sustainable. You can't keep doing that. Green energy stocks are going nuts. And I'm worried. Like, I got to play it safer. But it's wild. Wild market right now.
And then, you know, I can't wait to see if are all of our worry is correct, or whenever all of the entertainment and all of the gaming and all of the just from cruise lines and travel, when that gets back to normal, hopefully, mm-hmm. what will happen? Then we going to 40,000 for the day? I mean, I just don't know.
You could. Because here's you have two things. One, you have these crazy valuations. And just they don't make sense what things are trading at right now. But you have really low interest rates.
Yeah.
You have an economy that's shut down. You have a lot of money pouring in. Where's that money going? It's all going to the stock market. So that's boosting up prices. I think we could continue to go higher.
I do too.
Or if interest rates go up, maybe that might put a damper on things. But as of now, it just seems like where else can you invest your money? It's the stock market. So even though valuations are high, interest rates are so low, maybe that kind of balances out. The other thing I was thinking is that there could be a, I've talked about this before, but a shift of money moving away from tech and into recovery stocks. And so even though the markets overall might be the same, just money gets taken from here, gets put over here as people try to play the science. But either way, it's like, I'd love to look back at this 10 years from now and just see if what we thought is accurate at all. And it's really just a guessing game.
Good news is, from everything you've taught, everything that we all know, it'll still go up. If it doesn't,
yeah,
we got a lot more problems in our stock portfolio.
I think long term, I think we could look at this 10 years from now and be like, hey, the market's the exact same as it was 10 years ago. I mean, it's definitely a chance.
It's a chance. Always.
But as long as I think you're buying in every month or every week, or you're buying in consistently, you're going to buy through the lows, you're going to buy in through the highs, it's going to average out over the long term. It's not really going to matter that much. It's not like you're just going to invest like everything today and that's it for the rest of your life.
Put it all in, do I say it right? Dogecoin?
Dogecoin.
Dogecoin.
The Doge.
Yeah.
I watched, but I didn't understand.
It's treated me really well, actually. I'm up about 100% on
it. Gosh, I would have been up 400% on that investment on that one thing. I think I sold it the next day because I thought it was so stupid. But
Do you remember when we first talked about my portfolio just on a mentorship group when I had that stock that was at 400-something%?
What? I don't remember.
It was. Yeah. It's called XSPA. I think I'm saying that right because I'm mad at it. But yeah, that one was up 400%. I was up, I don't even know the number, but I bought more. I bought not at that number, and then now it's losing me. I lost so much money on
it. How much are you up overall, like net, on your stock portfolio?
Well, I guess we should talk about how much I put in, because I put in, I've always been very frugal. I've always saved a lot of my money, and I like to buy Rolexes and things, but I feel like they hold value. I mean, just make that plug, because somebody says a watch thing. But yeah, I put in $450,000. Now, I didn't just put that in day one. I started buying. I thought I was going to put in 100, then it kept going low. And then when it went down to 18,000, I've got Disney at $87 a share. I've got a lot. I've got Royal Cruise Line at like 80. I don't know. It's very low. It's almost the 52-week high. I mean, 52-week low. And right now, I'm up 400,000 or so. I'm up. My portfolio is 955 current value. However, I have 100. And $4,000 loss with SPXU and haven't sold it yet. Mm-hmm. So technically I'm up even more. And then I took profits last year of 44,000. So I sold just because I sold when it went up and then I bought back down.
Diamond hands, man. You got to have the diamond hands.
What does that mean?
Diamond hands is basically you just
diamond
have
hands. Yeah. Oh, I thought you said diamond hands. I was like, yeah, I need
diamond hands.
I
mean,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, this has been a crazy year. I haven't actually said this, but officially I'm up over $1 million in the stocks.
In the stock market?
In last year.
You're up over $1 million in the stock market.
We're doing fist bumps on that one. Yeah. That's crazy.
Right. Well, it feels weird fist bumping over them.
We do something better because it's $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm up nearly $5,000 in my Robinhood account for this year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Kevin is the real winner, though.
Here's
the thing. So everything, Mika, like I could be excited about something and then I see
and he does it 20 million times better.
Yeah.
I think
every episode we talk about Kevin.
Kevin who? Kevin?
We'll just end it. Me, Kevin made so many millions from Tesla stock.
That's nuts.
So many. And he's now the barometer of like just.
Yeah.
Doing, he's
like,
making
we're not
moves.
Talking about it, but he's like, but
yeah, but he's
making some
well.
Next level.
Yeah.
Every episode, he could be the running, like, we have an inside joke.
Yeah.
On
just have him run across the back of it the next time you
that
do
would
that.
Be
just
funny,
just have him here in Vegas.
He should be just like the gag on the inside joke for the channels. Every episode, there's one mention.
Get a meet Kevin cutout and then just like,
that would be funny. Bring him on as a guest, the cutout.
Yeah.
He does, and his work ethic, he does a lot of crazy investments, and he's willing to put it all on the line, and that's right. It's awesome to see. But hey, it doesn't have to always be millions, because I have one friend who invested $1,500. They're at 10,000. They invested in Sasol stock, SSL, just a really good stock, in a company where the plant is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And then Kayla invested 45,000. She's a real estate agent. That's my fiance, 45,000. And she's at 70 plus. So, I mean, if the market goes down, you can either get scared or you can get in. And if you get in the right things and you're paying attention, you know, it can be really great. And if you're worried, buy a mutual fund that tracks the S&P.
Yeah.
You don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, definitely. That's my thing this year, is I feel like I'm up too much. So now I want to play like, I feel like you shouldn't.
That's amazing.
It shouldn't be like, things are going up, I think, too fast.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I watched right there. I didn't see that. I want to see that.
Yeah. I fortunately have not lost money on like anything I've done on Robinhood. Like, it's getting ridiculous now.
This is what I'm talking about.
It's like, what do I know? Like, let's be honest here, right? I'm only 22. What do I know? I've been investing for a while, but I don't know what I'm doing.
You're an options expert, though. Well,
I'm going to learn options from you.
Yeah, I mean, I know about them, right? But at the same time, I don't think that I should be doing as well as I am. So I would say a lot of it.
But here's the thing. Here's what makes me skeptical is I thought in 2015, I started getting a lot more cautious about buying real estate because I felt the market is up. Every year the market was increasing like 12 to 15%, and 2015 interest rates started going up, and I'm like, it's probably gonna taper off a little bit. I was very cautious about every deal that I bought after that, because I'm like, I need to get a good deal just in case. And since then, that was like 35% ago, and we're, you know, a third higher than back then, and everything back then is now a bargain. So it goes to show, you know, but we're only like 4 or 5. How long is 2015? 6 years ago.
Six.
Wait.
15? Six. No, oh, 6 years ago. Six. I still think 2015 is like 3 years ago.
Oh, I agree with you. 2008?
Like, it's only 3 years ago.
That was only yesterday, yeah. You know?
Right.
War stories.
But I think as long as we look at things in 10-year increments, yeah. Like, I think even if we look back 2 years from now and we're like, hey, everything was half price back then, I think every 10 years is a good gauge, mm-hmm. of where the market's going long term. But I just feel like things are going too well. I always get suspicious.
We could have said that so long ago, though.
That's true.
It's difficult to time it.
Just make sure
you're paying attention to the whole market, because the reason I lost all that money, I was trading in a recession, which basically is what you're doing.
Right.
And an event that only happens every 100 years. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was, I knew what I knew, but I didn't know the market was like infinitely wide.
Right.
So that's all maybe it saved you some money with that old man tip right there.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I think this would be a good time we open these rocket packs.
I agree. Damn. I'm itching to open up these packs.
These packs are $500 each. What we're going to be doing, we each pick two packs, and we see who has the most valuable cards in these packs. And I think there's a good chance there's going to be a holo Dark Charizard in here, and one of us might get it.
So are we doing double or nothing? Are we going to do
$600? Okay, so I lost $300 on the second channel, so that's yours. I don't want to lose 600.
Come on, Graham. Just do it, man.
I'm not gonna lose 600.
If you
pull
it, you get to keep the 300.
I'm not gonna. I can't do it.
Hey,
can't do it.
His frugalness, yeah. It's proven.
I set a limit. $300 is as much as I'm willing to lose.
How about this?
Yeah.
How about whoever wins this one, we all put in $100 more. Is 400? I mean, $100 each. Like, he's over there. His face. He said, "We're cutting all this out of the podcast right there."
$11 million portfolio. Like, chill out, man.
Gosh. Okay. So, man, I
don't want to put in $100. Yeah, that's so scary.
All right,
let's just open them. Wait.
Let's do 20.
20. All right.
All right.
You're still over there. I love it.
Because it's a 33% chance that I'm going to win.
I'll make this even better. Okay. Now, the cards, once you open packs, it is better to keep them sealed, because that is a $500 pack. Or it could be a, you know, $70 pack.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? All three of us that open them, we are, of course, going to keep them. Because you knew me and Graham were going to keep what we pull anyway. Now you get to keep what you pull.
You get to keep what you pull. Yeah. So if you pull a Charizard, it's yours.
My gift to you is $1,000 worth of packs.
Wow. Okay. Like, all right. I'll agree to $20.
All right. $20.
It's within my budget.
Right, so
you have to open them, though. You can't use your sealed product.
Whoever pulls a Charizard.
Or the best.
Gifts $20,
$60
to the other person.
Okay,
and they keep their own 20, and they get 40.
Let's do it. I'll divvy up these packs between us all.
Do the honors.
All right,
two and two. Yeah.
All right. Let's see here.
$3,000 of packs here.
This one seems a little lighter. So you go ahead and take that one. All right, buddy. Oh, I like this one. I like that one.
You can feel the gram.
Yeah.
Okay, this one feels like you.
So,
does that mean it's empty?
Okay. All right, here you go.
The gram. No pun intended there, I guess.
Oh, man, this is a tough... Here you go. I'll take this one.
All right.
All right.
You sure you wanted to give me the Charizard? Is that what you wanted to do?
Yeah. Okay. We'll see about that. All right.
You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. Okay.
All right.
You can just peel them down the center and try to pull them up the top. But sometimes it's easier to peel it. There you go.
You got it.
Dark Rapidash. That's a good-looking card, everyone. Okay. All right. I'll take that.
You know what?
You can hear the stress in his voice.
Okay.
You'll flip this, Jack?
Okay. Sure. Yeah, this works. Challenge. Energy. Diglett. Ponyta. Magnemite. Dratini. Rattata. Coughing. Drowsy.
Oh, no.
Dark Wheezing non-hollow.
That is the card of cards that we've all pulled.
Right. Jack, do you want to open up your other pack?
No. Well, should I go? Should I just go?
I think because we are weird at the
okay,
camera
yeah.
here.
Okay. All right. This is the heavy one. This is the heavy one, okay?
We'll each do two.
Oh, my gosh. This is so exciting.
I can hear the nerves in his voice.
This is so exciting.
So basically, if we're going to talk about return on investment, it went from 500 to like 50.
Yeah. Dark Flareon. That's a cool card. I like this card.
I love that.
I wish they came out.
That's one of my favorite artworks.
Dark Persian.
Okay.
Dark Wartortle.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Goop Gas Attack.
Okay.
Meowth.
Okay.
Eevee. Zubat. Oddish. Grimer.
Here we go.
Ekans.
And do it slowly.
Oh my gosh.
Is that the
non-hollow?
No, it's the number at the bottom. If it's a five, no, it's not a five. So that is an error card. Now, once again, we're talking about first edition. Here, you take your card. I don't want a bender.
That's a good one.
It's an amazing card.
Unfortunately, it's not. If that were a holo, that would be one of the best cards in the
That
pack.
Is the second really? Best card, period. Yeah. So basically, when I pulled the Dark Charizard, the Dark Dragonite's just as cool. But if you get the five and it's holographic and it's first edition, they're selling for like 20,000, 30. It's nuts. It's so nuts. Yeah. Okay. So am I next?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
This is crazy.
Okay. You go next.
The final touches to the last one. I gotta get its brother.
Dragonite was great though. That was a good card.
Amazing card.
Of all the non-hollows you could hold, that was one of the top ones.
So we got an energy, got a dark Flareon, trainer, Ponyta, drowsy, coughing, Rattata, right? Rattata. We got a trainer. We got Meowth. We got Eevee.
Oh my
gosh! No, you pulled it. Wow, that is gorgeous.
It's a five.
One of my favorite cards. Yes. So here's the thing. So while we have it on camera, in the event that it was non-holographic and a five, that's the... Because it's an error.
Okay,
just like money and coins and everything else, just boom.
Wow.
Oh, we need the sleeve.
Here, I'll grab your sleeve. Sure. Oh my gosh.
That is gorgeous.
I was like, I want a sleeve for this one.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
That's very nice.
Wow.
Dragonite's one of my absolute favorite Pokemon.
That is amazing.
She's pretty.
Look at the swirl on it.
The swirl is,
yeah. Oh, jeez.
All right, you win.
Okay. We still can have a Charizard, because Dragonite's great, but Charizard's better. My trash talks need some work.
Yeah, we'll see about this.
Oh, man.
Dark Primate. Trainer. Dark Kadabra. Okay. Trainer. Abra. Snake. Duck. Ooh, Charmander. Machop. Slowpoke, and it's blue. Hey! Dark Gyarados!
Dude, two hollows?
So I am not upset about this at all. Not upset.
Wow.
That is a beautiful card.
What? Why did I give you those packs, man?
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Man.
These packs are sponsored by Jack Shelby. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. You gotta be
two hollows.
All right, now Graham's coming in with a big kahuna.
Well, we haven't pulled a Dark Charizard, so if there was going to be one, Graham, you have it. Remember.
So we got a Digger, Garbage Run, Kadabra, Sleep, Diglett, Drowsy, Dratini, Ponyta, Magnemite, Meowth. Is this... non-hollow. Here comes Team Rocket.
But your last pack.
It's crazy, the last one we haven't gotten a Charizard yet. Talk about a nail-biter.
Dude, right? Me too.
Vaporeon, Dark Charmeleon.
Good sign.
Dark Dragonair, Ponyta, Rattata, Coughing, Meowth, Trainer, Zubat, Eevee. It's green. Dark Gold, Oh.
Well, there wasn't a dark Charizard.
You win again, man.
Wow. I am. Wow. I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah. Congratulations.
We're not done yet.
Oh, yeah, here.
Yeah. All right, we've got a base set pack from Graham now.
So this is something I've been holding on to for months now. I bought this one pack. It's almost $1,000 for this pack. It's a base set. I've just been waiting for the right opportunity to open this up. This is unweighed. I have no idea what's in it. Let's give it a shot. I'm actually really nervous on this one. Okay. So we got Maintenance, Kakuna, Super Potion, Doduo, Abra, Voltorb, Weedle, Sandshrew, Energy, and non-holo Pidgeotto.
It's a cool experience.
No, not really.
I'm just trying to be optimistic.
You know what? That was fun for me.
So wait.
Oh, that was so awful.
I tell you what, I think now is a good time to give him his present. Wow. His gift.
Oh my gosh.
So I gave you a crappy gift. I'm so sorry because you didn't pull a holler.
No, that's all right.
But I mean, that's still cool. Keep your pack arts. Like it's
absolutely.
Don't throw those away. They're gonna be worth money. All right. So we didn't talk about the watches. But that's okay with me.
We can.
He's gonna give him a moment. He's not happy.
I'm upset right now.
Let's give Graham his space. Yeah, he's going through it.
I hurt for you though. Got a $10,000 broken box.
I just can't believe that. I gave you the Dragonite and the Gyarados.
Dude, you're an amazing friend.
Yeah.
I said friend earlier, the friendship has been that much.
Yeah.
Stronger.
Yeah.
Look at two.
But remember when I gave you two options to have? I can't make that any better. Wow.
That Dragonite, let me look at that for a second. Well, you know what? I'll look at it later. It's a podcast.
Well, I had a good time on these pack pulls, so too soon? Okay, I'm sorry. All right. I can say that because, it's really neat.
All right, let's see Graham's gift.
Would you like me to hold that?
Should I try to figure out? I used to do this. This feels like Christmas. Like, I always used to feel it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is.
I mean, it should be a heavy base set pack right about now, but...
First edition heavy base.
Shoot, Shadow. I mean, goodness. The only way it would be I could afford the Spanish version.
All right. Mont Blanc.
Got you the Rolex. Might as well have the Rolex of pens. So
this is wow. These are incredible pens. Yeah. I've seen. Legitimately, there are YouTube channels that review pens like this.
Can't come to a housewarming party without a. I know it's not that what this is, but now it is housewarming party. I didn't bring you a pot.
I'd be afraid to use this pen.
Sign
big checks.
Sign all Jack's checks.
Yeah.
Or your next big angel investment. That would be your special pen.
Wow.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Look how fancy this is.
I keep the boxes and the casing to them. I don't know if they're collectible or not, but Rolex boxes are expensive.
Let's see.
Just the box by itself. Oh, it's upside down. Oh. Boom. And it matches your watch.
These are incredible. Look at the tip of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Pretty cool.
Thank you, man.
So, yeah, that was fun.
Thank you, man. Wow.
Jeez.
That's insane. Thank you.
Absolutely. This has been a unique podcast episode so far.
Yeah.
It's like Oprah. You get packs, you get a pen stuff.
Yeah, you get a Dragonite. You get a Gyarados.
You get a Dragonite.
All right, so you've also showed up with another thing that's pretty exciting, your watch collection.
Mm.
Just a few of my favorite watches that I have. This was my absolute first watch I've ever purchased. Of course, as you just saw, I blinged it out. Mm-hmm. And I bought it for $4,500. Now, not the bezel. The bezel cost me, let's call it six, but it was in like 2014, 15. So it's been a long time. This one I brought because I knew you'd like it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Batman.
The Batman.
So
the Jubilee dial on that. I love that.
2020.
Yep.
Never been worn, so I'm gonna put that back on there. But yep. these are Rolex are good investments, and I'll show you real quick on why. This watch retails for $9,700.
Mm-hmm.
My jeweler, not the other guy, but my friend, that I actually linked those two together, and his profits went up. But what happened is he said, I'm the only person that he knows that would buy this for not retail. So mm-hmm. I paid about a grand under that for the Batman. And it retails for like $15,000 in this market. So
you doubled your money on that.
Absolutely. And so I didn't want to sell it. And then, of course, I have my rose gold Daytona. I had a Panda.
I love that. Yeah.
I had a stainless steel Panda, mm-hmm. which is selling like $26,000 right now in the used market, $20,000. But my diamond dealer needed it, and he took it from me. So he bought it from me for cost.
When you wear watches like that, do people notice it, and do they like point it out?
The shiny diamond one. So I don't wear it unless I'm going like somewhere else.
This has got to attract, this or the Daytona has to attract way more attention than the blinged out.
So let's call it a qualified buyer. It would attract somebody that knows what they're looking at. If somebody saw this watch, they're like, hey man, that's really cool. How much for it? Like $50? They don't know it's fully gold. But the diamond thing, shiny, and they know what diamonds
are. What do they say to you when they know what it is? They say, geez, man.
When you gamble with a shiny watch, people come sit by you and start talking to you. You know,
More with the diamonds than this?
Oh, yeah.
Because immediately, if I see an iced out watch, immediately my first go-to impression is, unless it's like, sometimes you could look at the person, you're like, oh, you know that's real. A lot of the times, I just think it's fake. That's probably, but if I see this,
he nicened that up for me. I said, you nicened that one up for me.
I would just think it's fake. Like, that's my go-to because it's so easy to fake that. You know? What should Jack get? I've been telling Jack to get a Submariner.
I'm not going
to
buy a watch. Graham wants me to buy a watch.
He was about it the last time.
Like, I'm about it, but it's just like, it's so much money, dude.
I think Jack could pick up a good Submariner at like 65. Remember when we talked about this originally? Since then, it's probably gone up like $1,000 in value.
I'll give you an example. The watch I just showed you with the shiny bezel. With that shiny bezel, it's like a $17,000 watch retail, but maybe less, maybe 15, but not much less than that. I bought that watch for $4,500 without the bezel. Somebody offered me 11 to take my diamond bezel off and put the original, because you've got to keep the original bezel, and I would have been able to double money on the watch. So, and that was 6 years ago.
Yep.
So I got a question. When you initially started out selling cars, you said that you averaged, you know, $75,000 each year when you were doing that full time. Your first year, how much did you make?
My first year, when 2008 hit happened, I made $59,000.
So that was your first year full time selling cars.
So that was about 8 months.
8 months selling cars, $59,000. So about 75,000.
I started, and then of course the year. But my first full year, the following year was 75.
And can you talk about like commissions and stuff like that, and what kind of cars you were selling?
Sure. Basically, any dealership. For anybody that's watching, I mean, I don't want to talk too many details about my store, but you know, any dealership out there is going to pay you about 25% in commissions on the front side, 10% on the back, which is just F&I income, things like that. And they pay you bonuses, and we pay our salespeople extremely well, because you know, like me and Graham with the Rolex or giving you two packs, you know, it's not always about the bottom line. Sometimes it's just about being, you know, when people think it's weird, like, what are you doing that for? So, you know, we really take care of our staff because we feel like it's not the barn, it's the horses, and the people make the difference. So you want to, you know, treat them right so they'll stay.
That's smart. And what kind of cars does your dealership sell?
We have two Chevy stores, Honda, Hyundai, Cadillac, Nissan. We have Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and GMC. I think that might be 11 because there's two Chevy stores if anybody's counting.
Wow.
What do you drive?
I drive a Dodge Ram. We just bought that franchise, and it's pretty cool. We've always, you know, it's when you don't sell it, it's like, oh, like the rival real estate agency, like, don't go see them. Yeah. Not that that's how you would sell it, but still. And then now I drive it. Drives great. You know, I think it's an amazing truck, and the screen is huge.
And would you say you have expensive taste?
I will not buy anything that doesn't make sense. So I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah, no. Food? Yeah, because crawfish are expensive where I'm from. Because crawfish are like $7.99 a pound. Y'all need to have that. So it's amazing.
Well, how about this? We could end it here.
Sure.
But do the gambling and we'll eat, gamble, we'll come back and we'll see what it's...
Absolutely.
All right, so...
Segue it.
I'm going to snap my fingers. And when I snap, we're going to reappear here after some nice dining and some gambling, and we'll tell you guys how we did. All right.
Can I still wear my avocado socks?
Oh, he's got some avocado socks. These are lucky. Okay. Things are going to go in our direction. We're already down 320.
320.
I'm down $20. You're up 320. All right. Or 340 actually. Yeah. And we'll see how the gambling pans out. Right. All right. So thank you, Grant, for treating us to some dinner.
Yeah. This is the iced coffee midnight hour.
Yeah.
Midnight edition.
It's like, 1:20 in the morning right now?
Something like that. After the podcast, we went to dinner. Thank you so much for dinner.
It was so good.
And then we went to Red Rock Casino, where Jack and Grant and I partaked in some gambling.
It's good times.
I was super against it, but they convinced me. and I won $99.50 off of my $100.
So the way I looked at it, he won $105 and then made a $5 charitable.
I did make a
donation
tip.
To yeah. the tip. Yeah. So
right,
the real estate agent and car salesman ganged up on Jack.
Yeah, it was a good night. Thank you guys for the peer pressure. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
How many blackjacks did you hit?
I got 2 blackjacks, and they gave me two really cool coins for each blackjack. So I got those as
50-cent pieces.
Yeah,
he's like those things.
Yeah, the silver dollars.
Are these Bitcoins? What are these?
I don't know, but that was exciting. You guys won some pretty good money, huh?
Yeah. I was up 300 and something, and that's after the tip.
Yep.
And you're up 300 and something too.
Yep. Hashtag after the tip.
Yeah.
Is that that's.
That sounds pretty good.
We could.
Well, that was pretty exciting. Also, yeah. Another thing to note was at dinner, interestingly enough, as we were about to leave, the waitress came over and she gave us like some dessert
coffee
that was
dessert.
On the house.
Yeah.
She said that the pastry chef recognized Graham. So they gave us a really cool.
If you're watching, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that. That meant a lot. I don't know if you're going to be watching the Iced Coffee Hour all the way to the very end.
But it was very tasty.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
So if you're watching this, thank you so much.
Thank
and comment
you.
Down below if you're watching this.
Yeah.
And the coffee just gave just enough a boost to go and get some gains.
Yeah. Yeah.
So successful night. Thank you so much. We had a blast. So we got to keep doing this every month.
Damn.
Cool.
Yep. Alrighty. So cool. With that said, you guys, thank you so much for watching.
We should use the other outro.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Just goes right
yeah,
to
let's
it.
Cut to the other outro right now. So Grant, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for the Pokemon cards. Thank you for the pen. Guys, if you want to subscribe, I'll put your channel down below in the description and go and check out the Graham Stephan Show because this is where we do the pack battle and we see who pulled the better Pokemon cards. So if you want to go watch that, actually, this is going to post first. So you don't know who won that. So guys, thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it. As always, make sure to destroy the like button, subscribe button, and notification bell. Also, feel free to add us on Instagram. I post there pretty much daily, so if you want to add us there, feel free to add us there. And don't forget, get your 4 free stocks down below in the description from Webull. Those stocks are worth all the way up to $1,600, so you may as well. It's free money. So if you don't like free money, then don't do it. But if you like free money, the link is down below in the description. Thank you guys so much for watching, and until next time.
Welcome back to the 36th ever Iced Coffee Hour, where we have our... I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
To do with us.
Cool.
Welcome back to the 36th ever Iced Coffee Hour, where the channel has already made $36,714 since y'all started it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on, Grant. It's amazing meeting you.
Let's do the intro once more and say like, hey, my name is Grant Navarre.
Oh, I forgot
welcome
about
to
me.
The, yeah,
I got the other part
forget,
right.
Yeah, it was good. Go for it. No, very few people ever get it right on the first try.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And I've watched this like seven times to try to get it.
Yeah.
All right. Just making sure I got it right again. So, hey, everybody, welcome back to the 36th ever. Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the 36th ever Iced Coffee Hour, where the channel has already made 37,000. 36,7. I messed it up.
34.
I was giving you an
income.
34,714.
Yeah,
34,714.
Yep.
All right.